Well, hello again, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining in to the ABCs of Christian Growth today. This is Brother Thurman. We're going to go back into our study of judgment and judging today. And this one perhaps is going to be a shorter lesson today, because we're going to talk about judgment halls and judgment seats and what the scriptures have to say about it. Now, of course, we know what we're talking about. We're talking about courtrooms. And they're all over the place. And it don't take very much of a drive or a walk to find one. Usually in the courthouse in a city, and every town or city probably has a courthouse. And we're going to talk about that. The scriptures do. We're talking about judgment and judging, and we just have went over all of the judges that were in the scriptures, that were in the book of Judges that the scriptures talked about, that the Lord wanted us to learn. And today we're going to talk about judgment halls. Now, all of this is going to come together whenever we get into talking about New Testament judgment and the born-again Christians, the body of Christ, the bride, and the judgment that the Lord has spoken of how we ought to be thinking about judgment and what judgment is, and see how the Lord judged and how the Lord's judgment was. I mean, have you ever stopped and read just the things that Jesus said? And when it comes to judgment and making up his mind and his opinion, there's all sorts of forms of judgment. Judgment is just not condemnation like the world tries to portray it. It's not that. Judgment carries with it many different scenarios, and that's why we're going over this stuff, so that you can get the whole package and just see the whole thing. So judgment halls. Now, judgment halls and judgment seat. The word judgment hall is defined as a large room for gatherings. A large room for gatherings, a large building for meetings, a hall where courts are held. Now, there's a difference in the word court and the word judgment hall. A hall is a physical room where a gathering is held, and it's for judicial business, and a court is an assembly. The court is actually the people that are gathered in the physical hall for judgment purposes. So a court is an assembly. Like, for instance, we would, in the scriptures in the New Testament, the church is not a building. The church is an assembly. It's an assembly of born-again, baptized believers. And that's what an assembly is in the scriptures as far as church goes. So is court. To hold court is to have an assembly of people for judicial business. And a judgment hall is a literal room that you hold court for judicial business in. Okay? So not very hard. Pretty simple to understand. And we're going to see some examples here in the scriptures. Not very many, but nevertheless, I imagine you're talking about most of it applies and has to do with the nation of Israel, of course, and them being having to need to be judged. You're talking about 2 million plus Israelites and the nation of Israel when they were traveling and needing to be judged, and their problems needing to be taken care of, and somebody to judge that and make judgment on that matter and do it for the Lord and do it for the right reasons and for the Lord's glory. Well, the first person we come to is found in 1 Kings chapter 7 and verse 1 through 7. And he was one of the more prominent judges in the scripture having to do with the way that he did things. And I mean, his whole reign, when he reigned over Israel, was a time of peace because of his judgment, and he was known by his wisdom in judgment. And the Lord is the one that gave him and gifted him the wisdom of judgment, and he asked for it, but he learned a lot of things that judgment can bring about negative aspects and bring about judgment. It's just not all having wisdom to make judgment. This world is trying to make everything all the same, relative. There's no good, there's no bad, there's no up, there's no down. It's all relative. Everything is bound together, and no parallels. But that's not true. That's not the truth. That's false. That's myth. That's some kind of goony imagination out there somewhere. That's stupid wishing. There's no such thing as that. There's definitely parallels, and or it's not parallels, but polarities is what I'm trying to say. I knew I was trying to get something out there. But 1 Kings chapter 7 and verse 1 through 7 speaks of Solomon. Now, it says in 1 Kings 7, let me read it to you. It said, "But Solomon was building his own house 13 years, and he finished all his house. He built also the house of the forest of Lebanon. The length thereof was 100 cubits, and the breadth thereof 50 cubits, and the height thereof 30 cubits, upon 4 rows of cedar pillars, with cedar beams upon the pillars. And it was covered with cedar above upon the beams, that lay on 45 pillars, 15 in a row. And there were windows in the 3 rows, and light was against light in 3 ranks. And all the doors and posts were square with the windows. And light was against light in 3 ranks. And he made a porch of pillars. The length thereof was 50 cubits. And the breadth thereof 30 cubits, and the porch was before him, and the other pillars and the thick beam were before him. Then he made a porch for a throne, where he might judge, even the porch of judgment, and it was covered with cedar from one side of the floor to the other." We see that Solomon built on purpose and had built. Now, he was a builder. He built his house for 13, you're talking about building a house for 13 years. That's quite a house, isn't it? And he's the one responsible for building the temple that his father David gathered all the gold and the silver and the brass and all that stuff and passed it down to him. And the Lord instructed and gave Solomon all the plans of how he wanted this temple built, for him to dwell in, for God to do, God's presence to dwell in. And Solomon built it, and it was extraordinary. It was one of the things that everybody in the world had heard about and knew about, and I mean, how special this thing was. And it was, because you're talking about the Creator, God Himself. God Himself. Of course, it's not there now. It will be again, but the Temple of Omar or whatever that place is called over there, it's going to be gone. It's going to be booted out of there, and God's temple is going to be put there, the Lord's temple. But talking about Solomon, he is a builder. And the Lord gave him instructions to build that temple. But not only did he build the temple, he built his house. He built these buildings with pillars and the light against light. Put windows in there where the light could shine through, and the light was against light. And all of it in ranks and porches of pillars and 50 cubits by 30 cubits. And then he built a porch onto it. And then he put a throne there. A throne there, and he sat on that throne, and it said the purpose of that throne, he made a porch for the throne where he might judge. where he might judge. Now, you're talking about all this special stuff being built, and the way that Solomon built things was extraordinary. Exquisite. It's the thing that you would want to go see and go visit, but not for judicial purposes. But if you had to go stand before this throne, you can imagine what it was like. Sitting in judgment, that is. But that was the purpose of it. It was King Solomon's judgment hall that he built on purpose, a place where court assembled, and it was a judgment hall, an actual building that he put together and had a porch and a throne, and he had it there for the purpose of judging. The purpose of judging, and he would bring all the people would come, and they would have their differences. This is where the history in the scriptures that tells us about the two women that came up and wanted Solomon to judge between them, having to do with one son that belonged to one of them. And they were fighting over him and saying, the child is mine, the child is mine. This was the thing where Solomon's wisdom got out in the land when he made judgment on this, that he told them, bring the child to me, and they argued about it. And he said, y'all are arguing, one of you saying it's your child, one of you saying it's the other child, bring me a sword. And he's going to cut the child in half and give both of them a half. And he said, one of them spoke up and said, let her have it. He said, give that to her. It's her child. And the other one, whenever the one said, let her have it, the other one said, no, split it and give it to both of us. Can you imagine that? Man, oh man. But that was his wisdom, and he was known for that, and that's where this thing took place, was before his throne and his judgment, judgment throne, his judgment seat. The porch of judgment is what it was called. And Solomon, King Solomon, one of the most prominent and mighty judges in the scriptures, and he had a place specifically where an assembly was called, where people would come specifically to be judged judicially, and it was built specifically for that purpose, and that's where he sat. Now, not only him, in the scriptures also we find that the Lord Jesus Christ was brought before one, and that was Pilate's judgment hall. Remember that? Where the high priest, Caiaphas, and those fellows were whenever they falsely arrested and falsely accused the Lord and falsely tried him and everything, and they thought they had hot shots bringing him to this gathering place, and the Jews wouldn't go in because, they would murder Jesus, but they wouldn't go in to violate the law, as far as going into a heathen place, before the Sabbath, and this, that, and the other, and all that mess. A bunch of hypocrites is what they were, and that's what the Lord called them with his own mouth. And John chapter 18 and verse 28 through 36, the Bible says, then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. The hall of judgment. Now, what is the hall of judgment? Well, it's a court. They led him. It was an assembly that was going to the hall of judgment, the judgment hall, which was a large room for gathering to hold court, which was an assembly that was going with Jesus to be judged or to make some kind of judgment. And it said, and they led Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Now, isn't that something? They're leading the Son of God to talk these people into condemning him and murder him, but they didn't want to go into this judgment hall and defile themselves so that they could eat the Passover. Boy, mighty holy, wasn't it? Pilate then went out unto them and said, what accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, then a criminal, in other words, if he wasn't a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him, and judge him according to your law. And the Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put a man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. That prophecy was fulfilled right there, because the Jews killed by stoning, the Romans killed by crucifixion, and Jesus was prophesied to be crucified and hung on a tree, remember? Then Pilate entered into judgment, into the judgment hall. Remember, that's a place, a large room for gathering, where court is held, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it to thee of me? Pilate said, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. In other words, it's coming. And it is the second advent of the Lord, and then his kingdom will be physically, visibly, here on earth, and when he comes, but not then. But he was held in a judgment hall. He was taken to a judgment hall, a room, a physical room, that was for the purpose of holding court, which is judicial business, to conduct judicial business. That's all over the scriptures. That's not brand new stuff. They didn't just come up with courtrooms and all these ideas, these brand new ideas. Scripture's got courtrooms and court hall and judgment halls and all this business in there where they done the same thing for the nation of Israel and even the Gentiles. Pilate was a Gentile, and the Romans and all them, and they had their business about judging people and this, that, and the other. And we find another one in there, which is found in Acts in the New Testament also, Acts chapter 23 and verse 34 and 35. Let me read that to you. And when the governor had read the letter, he asked of what province he was. Now, where's this fellow come from? Now, this is talking about the Apostle Paul. And when he understood that he was of Cilicia, he said, I will hear thee, said he, when thine accusers are also come down. So notice, there has to be accusers. Remember when we talked about judges and their responsibilities, that he is to hear the accused and the accuser? Remember that? That's not brand new business and brand new procedure, parliamentary procedure, and all this jurisprudence and stuff. This stuff's been around for a long time. And he commanded him to be kept in Herod's judgment hall. In the judgment hall. See, there was a specific hall that was Herod's judgment hall. It was a building where they held court for judicial business. Okay. Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, Forasmuch as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself. And this is when Paul got in trouble for preaching the word of God, which he is the best Christian mentioned in the scriptures. I mean, Paul is what brought our salvation into focus for us. He's the one that the Lord gave the responsibility for nailing down what the end of our salvation was and describing it and bringing it about. And when they had that assembly in Acts chapter 15 and decided what salvation was and what it wasn't, and it was the Pauline epistle. It was the gospel of the grace of God. And that's the gospel that we are saved by in this dispensation. It's the Pauline epistle. And you can apply anything in the scriptures to you and to a Christian but it's not doctrinal unless it lines up with the Pauline doctrine. The Pauline doctrine is what we live by now. Okay? But the whole Bible is to you, but it's not for you. There's some of it that's just specifically for the nation of Israel. There's some of it that's specifically for the Jews. There's some of it specifically for the Gentiles. You say, well, how do I know the difference? Just what we're doing right now, studying, comparing Scripture with Scripture. And it ain't hard. God the Holy Ghost wants you to know it, and He teaches it to you as you can absorb it. And He doesn't put anything on us that we and try to trick us like the devil does, and try to deceive us. The Lord teaches us truth and teaches us the right things, and we can trust Him, and you should. But talking about these judgment halls, Herod's judgment hall, we see in Acts when he brought Paul, and he said, okay, when the accusers come down from Jerusalem, then I'll hear you, and we'll hold court. Now we'll get all these people together, which is court, which is an assembly, and bring them all together in the judgment hall, which is a place, a physical place, a room where it's assigned for judicial purposes. And it was called Herod's judgment hall at that time. And Paul was going to have to go to court, and he was going to have to go to court for preaching. And he didn't mind that. He stood up and said the same thing in court as he said out of court. He said that Jesus met him on the road of Damascus, and that he saved him, and he called him to preach the gospel of the grace of God. And he told them that. And several of them judges said, almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I wish everybody was a Christian. And remember what Paul was before he got saved. He was one of the biggest Pharisees, the most diligent Pharisee that there ever was, and as far as keeping the Jewish law and keeping the law and going by what the Old Testament said, what the law of Moses said. But when he got saved, the Lord gave him a whole new gospel, and that's what we live by, the new covenant, the new gospel. The gospel of the grace of God. That's what we live by. Okay? So, the Acts chapter 23 and verse 34 and 35, and then Acts chapter 24 was what we just spoke of about Herod's judgment hall. Now, so what have we seen so far? Well, we've talked about what a judgment hall is. We've talked about what a court is. A court is an assembly. It's actually people that come together for the reason of judicial purposes and a judgment in a judgment hall, which is called a court room today. A court room, which is a large room for gathering, a large building for meetings, and a hall where courts are held. Courts are held. We've seen Pilate's judgment hall. We've seen that. And we also seen Herod's judgment hall. And there was one other. It was called Caesar's judgment seat, and it comes up in the scriptures because this is where when Paul went to court, like what we just got through talking about, when he actually went to court and the kings heard him, the judges heard him, and everybody, I mean, they had him in there more than a few times, and he would get in there and talk about the Lord Jesus Christ unashamedly, and he would preach to them. He'd tell them the truth, and he said, these Jews have nothing against me, and nor can they speak against me right now. And, you know, and we also see the corruption that's in the courts and stuff like that, because it mentions that a couple of them got aside and wanted him to pay them so they could let him go, you know, and stuff like that. But Paul never do nothing like that. He didn't have any reason to pay anybody to get let go. He was innocent. But they talk about that. But then whenever they tried to get him back to Jerusalem, down where the Jews wanted to kill him, and that's all they wanted to do was kill him. They didn't want to judge him. They wanted to kill him, put him to death. But they couldn't get it done. And then they tried to do it through the Gentile courts and stuff like that, and that didn't work. So they wanted to take him back, and the judge asked him, said, would you stand before me in judgment in Jerusalem? He said, no, I ain't going back to Jerusalem. Them Jews want to kill me. He said, I appeal to Caesar. You see, that is a judicial process that you can appeal to a higher court. And Caesar was the highest court. He said, I appeal to Caesar. And he said, okay, unto Caesar shalt thou go. And we read about that in Acts chapter 25. Let me read that to you. And when it was come, when he was come, the Jews which came down, remember he talked about the Jews coming down from Jerusalem, came down from Jerusalem, stood round about, and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. Well, remember what the law says, and while he answered for himself, neither against the laws of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar, have I offended anything at all. This is Paul talking. But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, Wilt thou go up to Jerusalem and there be judged of these things before me? Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou well knowest, for if I be an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, Hast thou appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar shalt thou go. Paul knew what they was going to do. He was privy to their conniving and everything else. All those Jews wanted to do was kill him. He was causing trouble, man. He was preaching this new gospel, and all the people were turning away from the priest, and the priest wasn't getting the money that they had connived, and all using the law corruptly, and using God's law, and just all kind of foolishness going on in the courts and in the judgment seats and things like that and stuff like that. And they were, you know, like they was talking about carrying Jesus to the court, why, and they didn't go in because they didn't want to defile themselves, but they wanted to murder the Son of God, but they didn't want to defile themselves so they could eat the Passover. Craziness. That's what the Lord called it. You fools, you hypocrites. And the Lord wasn't very kind to them. I mean, you're talking about God himself in the flesh standing there and these people trying to dictate to God himself what his law means. You see, and a bunch of craziness. But we're talking about judgment halls and judgment seats. Nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun. When it comes to judgment and judging and the study that we're in, this is involved in this matter of judgment and judging. People nowadays, you got to be careful. People jump out in front of your car or jump out in front of your bicycle and fall down in front of your bicycle and then sue you and take you to a judgment hall. Take everything you got. But judgment halls and judgment seats, that's probably one of the most busy. That's probably busier than a grocery store. I don't know, but judgment halls and judgment seats found in the scripture. King Solomon's judgment hall, we've seen. Pilate's judgment hall, we've seen, specifically for the purpose of holding judicial meetings and gatherings and judging problems, judging your regular people, the Gentiles, the common people, and judging big things. Remember, Moses had him a place where he judged, and his father-in-law told him, "Break this thing down, man. Get some other people judging, and break it down to 10, break it down to 100, break it down to, and make people go to these other guys for court. You're going to wear yourself out." And he said, "If it gets too big for them, then let it come on up to us." Or come on up to you and you judge it if it's too hard for them. And that's the way the system is today. That's exactly the way the system is today. It goes from your regular courts, your town courts, up to circuit courts, up to this court, up to that court. You can appeal it up to the next court, all the way to the Supreme Court, if the Supreme Court will hear it. But judgment halls. not a foreign matter in the scriptures. As a matter of fact, it speaks very openly, and it is spoken of what the Lord Jesus Christ had to go through in order to pay for our sin, in order to shed the blood to pay for our sins. He gave his life, and his shed blood and his broken body, which reminds us of his death. Remember? All right. Well, we're going to stop right there. Like I said, this is going to be a short one. And talking about judgment halls, this will come matter whenever we get on into talking more about judgment and judging on a personal level. And things like that, but we're just studying the scriptures. We're going to find out what the scripture says about this matter of judgment and judgment halls and judgment seats and judgment and judging. Okay? The next thing we're going to go into is going to be, pretty interesting for you. It's called divine judgment. Divine judgment. Specifically pertaining to the true God as the divine nature, divine protections, a deity judgment, deified judgment, God's judgment. And we're going to talk about that and see what it has to say and what the scriptures have to say about it. Good stuff, isn't it? Good stuff. Well, the Lord bless you and thank you for joining in today. You did that on purpose. And you fought the enemy to do it, and you won. Praise the Lord. Don't you quit. Don't you quit studying God's Word. You study it. You open that book on purpose, and you study it. Nothing that you do around God's Word is going to be in vain. You're going to prosper from it. Okay? The Lord promises. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Grove. I love you with Christ's love. Talk to you on the next one. Bye-bye.